local member.
Half a day?
Full day.
It's only half a day, so... Good morning, everyone. It's great to be together this morning to worship our God. Amen. I have to wear this shirt because I have to keep up with Jeff, you know, and with Ed, definitely, you know, so that you won't feel like, you know, I'm from somewhere else, you know. So I'm blessed to be here this morning. It's awesome just to be able to do communion with you guys this morning, you know. Ed, thank you for sharing communion with us, and we are so blessed to be able to be part of this worship service that we can offer to God this morning. So, once again, thank you so much for inviting us to be able to share this message, and I hope and pray that God will bless us today through this message. Amen? What's that?
Let's go, Pastor Ariel.
Yes. So, there's somebody out there. You know, just to let you know, Pastor Glenn is from Talupopo, so... Amen. Well, it's always a joy to be with Guam Christian Church. I feel personally, it's like this is... I'm not a new here, you know? I think I'm always here, so... You know, and I just love to be able to fellowship and to spending time with the different brothers and sisters here in Guam. Or stay here for a week. Wow, it's like every single day. We don't even know today is Sunday already. So, but you know, it's really a joy just to be able to see everyone this morning. And maybe before we start, please join me in the word of prayer. Let's offer this service before him. Lord, we come before you with grateful hearts. Privileged to be called your sons and daughters. Even to be here in your presence, Father. Got to fellowship with one another. Got to share the lives that you have changed, Father. And just together, we are praising you, singing before you, lifting you up this morning, God. And I pray, God, as we study your word, that you will speak to us. At the same time, God, that if there's anything, Father, that we want to get out of here, Father, we want to honor you, we want to put you first in our lives. Bless our time together today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, just in case, this is our family, my wife here, with me, amen. And we have with us also our... you know, our friends, of course, Jesse and his wife Mildred, who leads the church in Laguna, where our group center is at. So, by the way, once again, thank you so much for your support. You work and labor not to be able to support our programs in Hope Worldwide Philippines. And personally, I'm honored to be part of the board of Hope also in the Philippines. So, you know, somehow I have a vested interest. You know, and sharing Hope Worldwide. But personally, we are blown away. And in a way, humbled, guys, just by your heart. It's your initiative to be able to help us out. And for us, like, wow. You know, when I shared this actually to Hope, there was like, wow, really? You know, and you just like the Solanian churches, you did not just give what is expected of you. You give more than what is beyond actually what you can give. So thank you so much for your hearts and for serving. You see, Noah, 24,000 meals have served in Hope Maseco and Laguna at the same time. And you miss out all the, you know, the flooding and everything. You know, I knew it. Every time there's a big event in the Philippines. You know what are the big events in the Philippines? Floods. And it's happening all the time. I always get a call picture from Ed, hey bro, you know, how are you guys doing there? Really appreciate that. You know, you guys always watching over us and thinking of our needs in the Philippines. I'm glad that our house has not flooded ever since, so amen. So you don't have to worry about us. But you know, of course, the Philippines, you know what's been happening now, but no, don't worry about that. We're gonna, you know, just go to the Word of God today. Amen? So, but you know, we are just privileged also to be able to serve in our community. Amen? So thank you so much. So this is my family. Our children are both disciples. You know, John actually is part of our media group. He is in charge of all the live streaming, just like our AV team over there at the back. So let's give a hand to our AV team who set me up today. And our daughter also serves in the ushering ministry. You know, she's 15 and she's turned 15 actually. So, you know, every Sunday when we go to church, it's just me and my wife, because my son and my daughter, they go to church early because my son had to set up the AV team, you know, and the ushering also. So, you know, it's always awesome to be able to serve God together as a family. Amen? So today's message I would like to share with us, especially for those who are searching. It can be searching for answers for anything in our lives. It can be peace. It can be direction or something more in life. So what are you searching for today? And we want to invite you. And my prayer is that just like Jesus invited his first followers to come and see what God is doing for us. In John chapter 1, in verse 43 to 51, it says, "The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.' Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God.'" In verse 43, it says here that Jesus decided to go to Galilee and personally calls this guy, Philip, to follow him. And in verse 44, it says, "Philip, from the same town as Andrew and Peter, Bethsaida basically is a place of fishermen. Just like Glenn, who is also a fisherman. Right? A fisherman, a farmer, he is a jack of all trades, basically. A teacher, a professor, and a minister, a pastor. You name it. He is multi-talented. So it's like, it's at that place where Peter and Andrew and Philip came from, that place also becomes a follower of Jesus. In verse 45, Philip finds Nathanael and tells him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, Jesus of Nazareth." Let's look at the response of Nathanael when he heard about that. It says in verse 46, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "And come and see," said Philip. Here, Philip and Nathanael was a very skeptical guy. Can anything good from Nazareth? Philip, you know, Nathanael asked. It's like, is anyone good in Talofofo? And Philip says, "Come and see." This shows the prejudice against the small, seemingly insignificant town, Galilee. And when you think about Philip, Philip said to Nathanael, "Come and see." He did not say anything. Oh, you know what? There's a farmer over there, so good looking, he's a professor, and all of that. He's a fisherman at the same time. But Philip just said, "Just come and see. See it for yourself." Title of my lesson this morning is, "Come and See." In John chapter 1, also in verse 43, it says, "When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, 'Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit.'" Wow.
How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you.
Wow.
Imagine coming here today for the first time, Ed saw you and said, you know what? You are this awesome guy. You are this person, I know you. You know, I know. Can you imagine he, you know, Ed just narrates all your biography.
Wow.
And this is the first time you see each other. How would you feel? It's like, oh, what? Well, you would probably be scared. Who's this guy, psychic? You know? And probably this is the kind of response or reaction Nathanael did when Jesus tells him that, how do you know me? I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Here in verse 47, when Jesus sees Nathanael, he says, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. You'll be scared when you meet someone for the first time. They say all these good things about you, right? What do you expect next? So if you know me that much, probably you know also the bad things of that story, of the good things that you know just about me. And probably that's why Nathanael is probably very skeptical about Jesus. Who is, you know Jesus, but he didn't realize that he will be meeting Jesus. So Jesus calls him the true Israelite, or an Israelite indeed. And Jesus also knows that he is a man of integrity,
right,
without deceit.
Wow.
Wow. Of all the people, right? If you will be met by someone for the first time, he says all these things about you. You are a person with no deceit.
Wow.
You are a righteous person for the first time. Would you believe that person? Probably be like Nathanael also, be skeptical. I know, you know, I'm not totally that. You know? But Jesus, do you think Jesus is lying when he say things?
No.
Do you think Jesus is just probably joking? No. Because a true Israelite means he is someone who, he also used the word no deceit. Because by culture and by history, Israelites are known also for being deceitful. Do you know anyone that, you know, had made deceit and lies? An Israelite in the Bible?
Jacob.
Jacob, right? Imagine Nathanael called by Jesus a true Israelite with no deceit. Basically, Jesus saying, you know, Israelites, they have, by nature, they're deceitful, but you are the guy with no deceit.
Wow.
I can imagine also the feeling, you know, So what's next? Now you have no deceit. So what's next about me that you know? Of course, definitely Jesus know about him, but I just probably believe that Jesus just shared those things about Nathanael to establish that he is Jesus, that he, even though he didn't meet Jesus before, Jesus knows him.
That's right.
This is a high commendation, very rare, especially if you consider the history of Israel's patriarch, like Jacob, whose name means what? Deceiver. A very compliment, especially in a time that there are so many religious leaders in that place. Just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Jesus is saying that Nathanael is a genuine, honest person who is open to the truth. A person who truly embodies the character God intended for his people. Nathanael is surprised. He didn't meet Jesus in his lifetime, and yet Jesus knows him. That's why he asked, "How do you know me?" Jesus answers, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree." Now, fig tree is a very significant tree also. It's not just a tree, but in their time, when you say a fig tree, it's a place where people can meditate. People pray. You know, just like here in Guam, you know, if you want to pray, you don't go out there in the sun or else you're going to get sunburned, right? You go under the trees. That's why when I came here, I looked like an egg, you know? White? But now I felt like a true Filipino because of the sun. You know? So the highlights is, you know, Jesus says, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree." This highlights the supernatural nature of Jesus' knowledge. The phrase "under the fig tree" is thought to refer to a place of private meditation, a study of scripture, or prayer. Just like Nathaniel was engaged in a deeply personal spiritual moment at the time when Jesus saw him.
Wow.
But physically, did Jesus saw him? How did Jesus saw him? Under the fig tree. What is he doing there? Meditating. Praying. How in our lives, how do God sees us?
Come on, good question, bro.
During those times that we are meditating and praying. When you think of that, it's like, wow. So this is the fig tree moment of Nathaniel. When we think about our lives, when was the last time we had that fig tree moment? That Jesus sees us. Jesus seeing our needs, seeing our desire. Jesus' ability to see him in this private setting demonstrates that he is a divine knowledge. And Nathaniel met Jesus, and his life was never the same again. And in verse 49, it says, "Then Nathaniel declared, 'Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.' Jesus said, 'You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that.' He then added, 'Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man.'" This revelation probably stuns Nathaniel, and he declares Jesus to be the Son of God and the King of Israel.
Right.
He put his faith and trust in Jesus, in acknowledging that truly this Jesus is the Son of God, the King of Israel.
Amen.
And Jesus said to him, "You know what? You will see greater things than these."
Wow.
His life was never been the same. So, three areas that I want to give some practicals with us this morning. Number one, God knows you and loves you. Do you think God loves Nathaniel because he was praying and meditating? John 1:47 says, "When Jesus saw Nathaniel approaching, he said to him, 'Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit.'" Jesus knew his heart. His questions, his honesty, and his skepticism. Yet, Jesus still welcomed him. The point here is that Jesus said things, good things about Nathaniel. It's not because he is just a true Israelite. But remember this. He is a true Israelite with no deceit, but he had skepticism about Jesus. It's like, you know, you don't believe the person who's saying it to you. You know? So, if you think about it, he's not a perfect person. I don't think he is perfect. He has some, you know, doubts also in his life. That's why he's praying, he's meditating about his faith. Because he wanted to know more and understand more about God. And now, that's why Philip, when Philip talked to him, said, you know, Nathaniel, I know you're very adept with the scriptures, especially the law. The person you read in the law is here. His name is Jesus. And Nathaniel said, is anything good come from there? What did Philip say? He just said, come and see. He still had some doubts in his faith. He had faith in God, but he doesn't really believe totally, you know, who Jesus is. Now he's in front of him. Despite that, God knows him and still loves him. Even he is a skeptic. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said, here is truly an Israelite that there is no deceit. And before Nathanael even believed, Jesus saw him. He knew his heart, his questions, his honesty, and Jesus still welcomes him. I believe that all of us, regardless, we have this, check this one. So they're meeting here in a coffee shop. So what they do during our time, we meet under the fig tree. Because we don't have money. For a campus ministry now, I mean, they meet in a coffee shop. They close a coffee shop just to have a Bible talk.
Wow.
You know? So, this is what they're doing. You know, they're doing a Bible talk. They're inviting their classmates and their friends also to that Bible talk.
Yeah.
And what happened here is that there are disciples in their schools who are saying, hey, you know, where are you guys going? We're going to a Bible talk. What's a Bible talk? Yeah. Oh, you just come and see. Yeah. So they invited their classmates to go to a Bible talk. Now, for the first time, their classmates were able to see the group of disciples like so fired up. You know, the campus ministry there is so fired up. Amen? Do we have a campus ministry here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, you know, and this is what happened. You know, after next, three of them were baptized.
Amen.
Who attended that Bible talk? They were invited to come to that Bible talk. Dude, I just want to tell you that Sunmin and Pao they got baptized on March 16, and a week later or 2 weeks later, another classmate of them was baptized also. You know, the one on the left, the one with the black shirt, and both of them are wearing black, they are classmates.
Yes.
So this four here are their classmates.
Yes.
What impressed them is that during their exams, these two guys, disciples, they sit in front. And they're not looking at each other. While everyone at the back, you know what's going on there? During exams. You know? So, all their classmates like were so. How come they are not giving out their answers to us? Because they want to maintain their integrity, you know, as disciples, as Christians. Well, everyone's like sharing their answers to their quizzes. And they were so impressed, like, how come they are not sharing? Sharing is good, right? But this is the time that you don't want to share something because it's bad. This is the only time probably that you don't share because it's bad. So they ask, what are you guys? How come you're not sharing with us? You know, while everyone is doing this. And they said, you know, because we're Christians. Oh, okay. So, and then after that class, they went to that Bible talk and they said, would you like to come with us? And they invited these four guys to their Bible talk. And they studied the Bible. Three of them got baptized already. So, now, this is our campus ministry in Metro Manila. Now, these are just students. Every month, they had their congregational, just campus worship service. you want to come to their worship service because it's dull. You know, of course, if you are like me and, you know, well advanced in years, you don't like loud worship service. But when you go to the service, I mean, it's really amazing. Young people worshiping God. It started with an invitation. Thirdly, when you meet Jesus, everything changes. John 1:14, then Nathanael said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Jesus said, you believe because I told you, I saw you under the fig tree, you will see greater things than these. He then said, added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God descending, ascending and descending. Here, we see that the skeptic became a believer.
Wow.
One conversation with Jesus transformed Nathanael's heart. The point here is that Jesus doesn't just offer religion. He offers transformation, peace, forgiveness, and purpose. And we all know later on the life of Philip and Nathanael. Philip is one of those seven people in Acts chapter 6 that were used by God also, were able to convert, you know, the Ethiopian eunuch.
Yeah.
So, if you're willing to open your heart to Jesus, you'll see that He is real and He is good. And He is good for what He said. And I believe that when you put your faith in Jesus, everything changes. If you're a Christian, you are a testimony of God's transformation. Not perfect, but you were transformed from your old life. Amen? All of us have stories to tell of how God changed us and how God transforms us. You know my story already. I shared it many times. I'm not going to share it again because, you're fed up with that stories. But, you know, personally, I am amazed. You know, we have this woman that we study the Bible. My wife studying the Bible. She has a very colorful life. When I say colorful, just think of anything that you can think of. It's her life. And she comes to church. She observes the church. But she said, I don't want to study the Bible. She got scared because she knew her life will be exposed if she met Jesus. Just like Nathanael, his life was exposed. But later on, she took the courage. After service, she was crying, I want to study the Bible. And she studied the Bible. You know, it's amazing. Since the Bible basically, the adulterous woman, how many husbands?
Five.
She did not have five, but almost there. But when she studied the Bible, she gave up that kind of life. Now she's working just like a messenger, just helping out, cleaning some things, just to feed her three children by herself. Because he wanted to live a life that is just at peace with God. Knowing that she was content with what she had in Jesus. Amen. When you meet Jesus, the skeptic here became a believer. Jesus doesn't offer, as I mentioned, religion but transformation. Amen. And lastly, following Jesus is a journey, not just a one-time event. It's not like, hey, I accepted Jesus. Amen, hallelujah, I'm a Christian. See ya. When you follow Jesus and put your faith in Him, it's just a beginning. It's a new start, a new beginning for you. God will continue to transform you, to hone you, to become a better disciple that He can be able for His purposes. Amen. John 1:50 says, you believe because I told you, I saw you under the fig tree, you will see greater things than these. The life of a Christian doesn't end at their baptism. It starts in their baptism. Amen. But you have to end something also in your life for you to have a new life.
Right.
You know, I've been a Christian for 32 years. And let me tell you, I've been through so much also in my faith. I remember I became a Christian. Oh man, it's hard. So I said, okay, I'm just going to stay here for 3 months. 3 months, I'm gone. Okay? I'm going to be a seaman after that. So, after like few months, I go to church every Sunday, meet with disciples, pray with disciples, and then suddenly it's like, wow. You know? This is awesome. I felt like happy with my life. I felt like, you know, even though I don't have money at the time, I just walk, you know, from my house to work and then from church to work, you know. But I don't complain because I enjoy being a disciple of Jesus. But of course, later on, you go through some struggles also. But that is part of Christianity. You are still human. You are still in your flesh. You will go through hardship. And I thought, even as a minister now for more than 30 years also, I thought, wow, what could go wrong in my life? I'm a minister. I'm an evangelist, you know? I'm the leader of the church. What could go wrong? I'm the most spiritual person.
How is that?
But you know what? God is not done with me. God stripped me of that pride. Hey, you know, I put you there. You know, I ask you to, you know, to be able to. I'm going to use you, but it went to your head. You know, you become prideful. You think that you know better than me. You are just my instrument. And how come that you felt like you're God?
Wow.
And God humbled me in that way. And I'm honestly, guys, I don't like being humbled. Do you?
No.
When God humbles you? And honestly, you know, here's the problem also. We don't admit that we're prideful, that's why it's hard to repent. I'm not that prideful. No, I don't to repent. I'm not that prideful. I think the fact that you say you're not prideful, I think you are. You can't humble me, strip me of everything. It's just me and God. It was very challenging to be able to have conflicts also with your best friends. But personally, I felt like, wow, God allowed me to go through it to the point like, I want to give up being a minister. I don't want to do this anymore.
Come on, bro.
But God allows me to go through those challenging times in my life.
Amen.
For me to be able to see that it's just between me and Him. It's not about what I do.
Right.
It's not about my title. It's not about being a minister. In the first place, you know, when God picked me up, I'm telling you, I'm probably the third when God picked me up. Even put me in the leadership of the church, put me in the full-time ministry of the church. It's not about your role.
Right.
It's about who you are before Him.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Regardless, it doesn't matter if you are you have the largest churches in the whole world. But if you and God are not okay, and when you put everything that you have in your head, not in your heart, you won't be able to make it. And I'm grateful for God through those challenges. It helped me to become human also. I cried a lot. You know, men don't cry. Yesterday, I'm supposed to do something that will make them cry. But, you know, I don't want to do it because, you know, men don't cry. You know, but personally, I am just grateful for God for what He's doing in my life.
Amen.
We don't like challenges, do we?
Yeah.
We don't like hardships,
yeah.
Do we? We don't want discomfort. You know? We don't want to get out of our K-drama, right? You know, K-drama, the Korean drama, you know, those series. And in the Philippines, it's, oh my goodness, everybody knows all the K-dramas. You know? But I'm really grateful for what God has been teaching. And in some ways, I offended anyone in this church, or, you know, I said things to you, I express my feelings. And,
come on.
It's not supposed to be there. I'm sorry.
Come on.
I like my shirt. I just want to, you know, take this opportunity. And I'm grateful also for the friendship and the love that you guys have for us. Amen? I'm human too. And sometimes we can just be human. Just be open. And, you know, just, you know, see it also in your life. Amen? So, following Jesus is a journey, not a one-time event. So, faith begins with a small step. Jesus told Nathaniel, "You see greater things than these. God has a plan for you." I can't read it because... God has a plan for you like that unfolds as you follow Him. You can see it when you are struggling. But God always prevails. And His plans will always going to happen. It's a journey. The reason it's a journey, because what we do sometimes, it doesn't create immediate results. But you just have to hang in there. I talked to a brother yesterday. I'm still hanging in there, bro. Amen. Just hang in there. Don't let go. Amen.
Yeah.
Even though you are just hanging by a thread, don't let go. Because God will not let you go. Even the things that I do as a minister, sometimes I don't see it right away. But hey, amen. I just enjoy those moments, the things that I do, instead of just seeing the results. Like, I've shared this with you guys before. I've been doing this for 5 years already in the Philippines for the National Police. Philippine National Police. I've been doing this for 5 years and no one got baptized yet. No one said, "Hey, Pastor, I'm gonna study the Bible, I'm gonna be a disciple." So, man, this is too much. I'm doing this for them every week and no one is like converted here. 5 years.
Wow.
Should I give up? You know? I just keep on going. What gives me joy is every time I see them, every week, every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m, seeing them happy, praying. At least it's a good start. Amen. At least they're opening their Bibles. At least now somebody said, "You know, Pastor," because we ask also responses after the lesson. "Hey, Pastor, yesterday we caught this guy. You know, we've been hunting this guy for a long time. And I already had bad feelings. If I'm gonna caught this guy, I'm just gonna kick him, you know, it's like probably punch him many, many times." But I know we caught him yesterday. I said, "Whoa, what did you do?" "You know what? I'm supposed to punch him, but I realized tomorrow is our squadding. We'll be seeing each other. So we'll be talking about the Bible again and I would feel guilty. So I just have to counsel him. You know, what you're doing is not good." For me, that's a conversion.
That's right.
And I said, you know guys, I've been doing this for you. I come here every week. I want to challenge you to come also to church. So I invited them to church. They come to church in their uniforms. With their guns. See that? This lady over here, look at her gun stuck outside of her side over here. So these are like the SWAT people, and they come to church.
Awesome.
Imagine if there's like people come here with guns, you're probably scared. But you know, when you come to our church, you are the safest person. You're surrounded by police officers, so with no worries. So they come to church. And this is something. So every Sunday, I feel so safe. Being surrounded with long arms. They come to church, amen. And I'm really grateful to God. You know, that every, we have to take pictures. I don't just take pictures because we can show. It's part of their duty also that when they come to church, they have to take pictures because it will be part of their report that they attended church. Amen? So I'm just so grateful, you know, to be able to be part of this journey in their lives also. And they become my friends. And also sometimes it has benefits too. Because one time, I got pulled over. And when I rolled down my window, oh, Pastor Ariel. Oh. I'm supposed to like, oh no, the pastor, you know, violates the traffic rules. I'm just gonna share. I'm not gonna show what happened there. But you know, I remember one time also someone is like, in I did not roll down the window, and then I realized he's making all these tickets already, right? And then when you look at me, like, Pastor Ariel? They call me Pastor. So, oh, I said, I'm so sorry. Oh, okay, you can go. No. Just give him my ticket. No, it's okay. You know, we also do like complimentary. Not saying you become a pastor so that you can get away with it, okay? That's not good. I said, no, give me my ticket, you know? But I said, no, it's okay. You know, because in the Philippines, you know, we have lots of laws. But most of those laws, as what Glenn says in the road, they're just decorations. You know? So in closing, brothers and sisters, and our friends, no matter who you are or where you've been, Jesus invites you to come to see him. For our friends that are here today, my prayer is that you don't just come here today to attend a worship service. We are here to be your family. And if you want to know more about Jesus and that transformation that he gives to every single one of us, feel free to ask those people who brought you here to study the Bible with you.
Amen.
And I would guarantee they will cook for you, they will make coffee for you, and invite you to their homes. Amen. So try faith, inspire it, explore it, ask questions, seek him, and you will find that God has been seeking you all along. So my brothers and sisters here, may your life be the beacon of light that people see Jesus. God bless everyone, and thank you so much for being here today. Amen.
Embrace that title, because I think from here on out, if I get pulled over and anything happens, I'll be safe. Just saying, Pastor Glenn. Thank you, bro. Amen. Rise up. Guys, let's give Ariel a round of applause. I can't pick out of all the different things. I'm just so blown away every time I hear his message. I hear how God speaks through him and works through him. It's just truly amazing. And we're very blessed to have not only you and Susan, as you guys always do, whether you're physically here or not, you're always with the Guam Christian Church, but to also bring along Jesse and Mildred and Val and Judy. Thank you guys so much for just the time and sacrifice to come out and to always be with us. And for your message today that lets us know, no matter what country we're in, no matter what culture we have, no matter what background we have, no matter who you are, no matter where you're at in your walk with God, God's always the same for you. And that's God, the God of love and all comfort, all compassion. And that's what I heard in this lesson today. Right? And, you know, there's so many things. What am I going to close with? What am I going to say? And the thing that moved me the most is your walk with God is a journey. It's not a one-time event. Right? There's going to be times, guys, where we're up here, and there's going to be times where we're down here. Right? There's going to be times where I think in our men's day yesterday, we said, where's your faith at? Is it at 9, 10, or is it at a 1? And the message that I got overwhelmingly is, even if your faith is at a 1, amen. Right? God's going to meet you where you're at. And that's what I hear in his lesson today. Right? Whether you're Daniel or whether you're Philip, like, God knows exactly where you're at.
Right.
So regardless of where you're at, God knows already. Mm. Right? He just wants you to come to him.
Man.
Right? And I was, you know, thinking about the time when you said, you know, being a minister and doing all these things and the title and things like that. Like, for us, I know we've been leading over the so many years, Ed and Alex and Rod and, you know, the different teams that have been kind of helping the Guam Christian Church when we have a full-time minister or not. There's always the same group of people that step into the gap.
Yeah.
Not because we're super spiritual, but really because we love God and we love the church.
Amen.
And there was a time, and it's on the Rise Up too, so thank you, Jesse. I'm wearing my Rise Up shirt. There was a time, actually in the pandemic, there was a, they started this Rise Up ministry where they do these morning devotionals for 5 years, and in the fifth year, which is Mar and I was able to, we were asked to share and be part of the Rise Up morning devotionals. I shared a photo. There was a photo that Ariel had sent. And I'm emotional because it's exactly what his lesson is saying, right? In your journey with God, it goes up and down. And I was at a point in time where I was hurt. I was hurt by the church. I was hurt by just expressions, emotions. About when we're here leading, giving our all, unpaid, kind of like Jesse and his wife doing these things, right, where you serve, right? And when you hear comments, even though they're not directed at me, even if they're directed at the leadership team, it hurts sometimes when you get criticism. And there was a photo that I shared that Ariel had sent to me, and it was him and me, Susan and Mar, and we're at the airport, they were leaving. And his last plea was, Glenn, it doesn't matter everything else. It's you and God.
That's right.
And I didn't want to serve anymore. I stepped away from leading because I felt like everything's my fault. Everything's the leadership's fault when things don't go well. And I was waiting to see that God was trying to see, where are you at with me, regardless where the church is at. And that's the point that it really hit me the most. Is our faith, guys, is not just a one-time event. Yeah. It's a journey. It's going to go up and down. Yeah. God knows what you're doing. Yeah. And God knows what you're not doing. Mm-hmm. And if you're not where you need to be with God, amen.
Amen.
Let's leave this place today a changed person.
Amen.
Because God is with you all the way. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, bro. There was so much more in that lesson, but that's what took you away from that.